Shalom and praise the Lord to everyone. Because I believe that it's been everything from the day I've arrived here, it's going on a miracle after a miracle. This has been a most wonderful time of fellowship. I cannot deny it. I truly appreciate all the efforts that have been put in by the brothers of Zimbabwe and Zambia and every one of you to make this day possible. I was excited when I first received an invitation that I will definitely make it. And our church people also was very excited. Brother, you are invited, please go. They prayed for me, and when the day came arrival, when I had booked my visa and passport and ticket, everything, but just a week prior, 10 days prior to it, you know, something terrible happened. And no matter what happens, it's all for the glory of God. Amen. I was discouraged by the doctor, many family people and many so-called brethren. This is a danger that you are taking, stepping into. But nevertheless, I trusted God more than myself. You know, I have not received an invitation just for the sake because I am a kind of a preacher, but it's the love of the brethren. And God will never despise the love of the saints. Amen. So I was in two minds what to do. My wife had also gone to the airlines to cancel the ticket, but they said, don't do it right now, wait for a few more days. And when I was ill in the hospital, in the ICU, and in that strenuous situation, I was almost crying like a baby. Lord, why this thing has happened to me? And the Lord spoke to my heart that the Lord said, showed me the scripture in Jeremiah 23, I'll smite the shepherds and the sheep will be scattered. And it has already taken place. But this time I will smite the shepherd and I will gather the sheep together. The verse 4. And he said further that in 7 days he will make me to rise on my feet. 5 days passed, 6 days passed. I was still lying on the bed. But on the seventh day, you know, I received some strength. I could stand. I could walk. I could speak. And I asked the doctor, I need to be discharged from the hospital. And the doctor said, your willpower is very strong. And he certified with a certificate that you are fit to travel. I am fit to travel, but I'm fit to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. In Mumbai, where I come from, we have a little fellowship there, and there are about 20-25 churches all over our country where they are coordinating with me, and we are all united in the faith. They all, when I'm going to Brother Andrew Peter's place, they have sent their tons of love to him. In India,
India,
when Brother Andrew came, and he had a meeting at my place, and then we went to Pune, and I had invited a lot of people, and some people said, oh, he is just a boy, would he be so matured? No, we need some more seasoned preachers. But Brother Andrew's messages were really touching. I remember he spoke about the alabaster box. It's still so fresh in my mind. He spoke about Lot waiting at the gates. It was another blessed message. And from that time onwards, he has been our favorite. Brother James
Verimore
is like a father to us. And whenever I speak about him, they all remember, oh, that precious brother who always keeps his eyes closed and preaches. You know, he preaches with his eyes closed. Because in our church, whenever he used to preach, he used to always keep his eyes closed. And he would only look into his Bible. But brother has done a good work. He has given us a message. What is the message of the hour? And we are grateful to him. And today morning, as I stand here, I am grateful to all the ministers who have been ministered from the very beginning. I reached here on Saturday, right?
Yes.
And Sunday, this precious brother gave a beautiful message. What is appetite? I still have got it noted down in my book. It was a real blessed message. Then all the messages from Brother Martin Bay and onwards, you have done a very beautiful work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I had certain things in my mind that I will share with you this morning. But when Brother Egado came, he presented all my thoughts on the slides. You know, when I was supposed to speak about the Godhead, he already declared it and confirmed it to the church. I am grateful for the great job he has done. And all I have to say that all of the prayers and the fasting that you had done for me, it has never gone in vain. And I love you all, my brothers and sisters. Yesterday I was looking at the sky in the evening. The sky was a bit colorful, shades were there. And I was looking at the sky and I said, Lord, how far have I come from my country? It's a far land. Lord, do you really want me to be here? Am I going to reach back again? But I have been here. I feel at home. I feel at home. The space has disappeared. And we feel all close together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can be now seated. I appreciate your worship leader, Brother Mansa. He is an extraordinary person. With an extraordinary voice and extraordinary grace. I thank you, all of you. You are all wonderful people. I thank Sister Nora. She has taken extremely good care of us, looking into every detail and doing it so joyfully to serve us. I believe that we come from different continents, different countries, And we have different style of speaking and teaching, right? But I come from Asia. And when I come from there, I have a different style of speaking. My voice is soft. And nevertheless, I'm also a little, I have infirmity of because of my illness, I'm on medication. So I may not be very robust, but I just request that you may pay attention to the things what I speak. I hope my speech is clear to all of you. You can follow my accent. That's very nice of you. I will make use of the board because I am a teacher by profession, and I would request that you pull the board a little bit in the center and come down. I would love to do a little exercise. Are you ready for it? Amen. Shall we all stand up? Right? Are we ready? Can we put up our hands? Is that right? I have a little request to be sincere.
Okay.
Just close your eyes. Okay, don't open your eyes. Keep your hands down. You just close your hands. Close your eyes. Don't open it until I tell you to open it. Keep your hands down. Keep your hands down. Turn around one or two times. Just turn around. Okay? That's wonderful. Keep your eyes closed, okay? You can hold it. You can hold whatever position. Okay. Now lift your right hand on top. Alright? And keep your eyes closed, please. And point your right hand towards the north. To the north side. Are you getting me? Your right hand pointing towards the north. Okay, now you can open your eyes. You know, many of them pointing this way, this way. You know, you can be seated. We are the pointers of the message, right? I myself do not know where the north is. But we need direction from the word. Hallelujah. I hope you get it. You see, Brother Charles, Pastor Charles from Kenya, you know, he spoke about a beautiful theme that says souls are very precious. And Brother Branham definitely said the value of one soul is 10,000 worlds. Souls matter. Is that right? We are doing all this work, all the sacrifice, all the dedication, it's only because souls matter. Souls are precious. Is that right? But what have we to do? Preach the mystery. Life is a mystery. Preach the mystery. Preach the right gospel. Is that right?
Amen.
Preach the right doctrine. Are you able to follow?
Amen.
We have these three responsibilities. If souls matter, you got to preach the mystery of life. Because every soul has a mystery of life involved in it. Souls need, they perish because they do not have the message of the gospel. Many have preached, but there is only one true gospel. Many could be as a brother who just came up and said, When I read the Bible, I don't read it as fables. It's very true. Even Brother Verimore spoke about it. I appreciate it. Somebody else is not anointed and not led of the Spirit speaks about the gospel. It is just fables. Besides that, we have a responsibility to preach the right doctrine. You know, we are not here to create doctrines, but expound the word that it is. Because in it is life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. I think this is a little softer. Give me that one, sir. This is okay. Yeah, this seems to be okay. Am I audible to all? Or am I too loud? It's okay, right? Yeah, this mic is okay. So if the souls are precious in the sight of God for 10,000 worlds, that means it's a serious business when God has given to you to save souls. I would love to tell you one thing. There are angels. There are angels who are ready to listen to God and receive a commandment to do a service to God. And when they are supposed to do a particular task, they are not supposed to fail. Because if they do a mistake, there is no forgiveness for any angels. You understand? They are perfect in the day they are created. But we humans,
if we want to,
we do a lot of mistakes. Is that right?
Amen.
And Jesus said, Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he said, 70 times 7. You forgive one another as your heavenly Father forgives you. We are the only creation who have forgiveness. Nobody else God would ever forgive. You understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's get back to the scriptures. Where that said, huh? Samuel chapter 12 and verse 4.
Samuel 12, 4.
If I do something on the board and afterwards I have to erase, you can take a photograph of it before it has been erased. Okay? Because I would be doing a lot of diagrams and a lot of sketch work.
So, ikazula body mungafufu tekufukani zapiti za kulemba vambi so mungazikopa hapa lakini kuna.
Can we read it? chapter 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 4. Or 1 to 4 you get it. Read it from 1 to 4. Are you there with me? The first Samuel chapter 12.
Samuel Oyamba 12.
And verses 1 to 4. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that is said unto me. And you have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will destroy to you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us. Neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. Amen. You can read it in your language.
Samuel anati kuri Israel yonse onani. Namverera zamene mwakamba mawu yangu zose zamene mwakamba kwa hivi mkonso nizakupasani mfumu yesu kwa mamfumu wamene azaida kwa hivi kwa maonani mfumu azakwela kwa hivi nine nakalamba mkonso kumutu kwanga kumimbi onani wana wanga walifu hawa. Na kala waenda pa imwe, kuchoka pamene nali mwana mpaka lero. Onani, nikuchitirani mboni kususana na ime lero pa mbwini. Chifukwa, onani, nilipano, chitani mboni kususana na ime pa mbwini na pali wazoze kwa wake. Ni ngombe ya ndani ya mene ninatenga, oruburu wa ndani wa mene ninaono, ninatitikiza. Olo kapena ni zanja ya ndani ya mene nina landira drama ya corruption. Kuti ine nina mewanju kwa mesu wako. Ngati kulichamene na chitaka so ine nizabweze danuse. Kwa anakamba kuti suuna chiteko vili vonsi kwa ipa kwa ife. Olo kutipititigiza, olo kutichose razi kuchita madiri kwa ipa kumungari vonsi.
I hope you have understood it.
Amen.
May God bless the reading of this word and give us a fresh anointing. Amen. Now remember, we are living in a peculiar days where there are a lot of comments have been spoken about these days. It is said the last days. It is said the latter times. The days of
Noah.
The tribulation period. And a lot of things have been mentioned about this time. You know, but we are supposed to be ready because we are entering into a very different part of time. Jesus spoke the gospel. Jesus warned these souls because there is something we have to overcome. We find people are good in the church. Love one another, say praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. But still something is not right in the heart.
Amen.
We still falter and fail. Now these were the words of Samuel. I stand before you. I am almost become gray-headed and come to the frail end of my life. But have I defrauded anybody? Have I cheated anybody? Have I taken anybody's ox or ass? Or defrauded anybody by cheating something? Or speaking vainly? Have I taken any bribe? And what did they answer? No, sir. You have never done these things. You are clean. Brothers and sisters, this is what exactly we have to be. You know, one day, Jesus cautioned his disciples. He said, I am not going to preach to you. I am not going to talk much to you now. I am going to stop talking. Because it is time that the prince of this world now cometh. He is coming. But he has nothing in me of himself. He cannot blame me. He has no accusation. He has nothing in me. Because his life was clean. Without any blame. And we are supposed to enter into that same arena. You know, to be called a bride is something very interesting. But to be a holy and blameless bride is something that takes rethinking. Right? It's easy to consider, I am a bride of Christ, I am a chosen, I am an elect of God. But you and I have to pass the test. Amen. Am I the one? Am I the chosen? Am I passing the test? Am I holy and blameless? Now remember, the Bible tells us that the old times are reoccurring again in the latter days. And one thing that what I see today is Genesis chapter 6.
Genesis chapter 6
is once again repeating itself.
Genesis 6.
You understand? The people were filthy, selfish, all the time thinking about worldliness, lust, and filth. And the same times are coming today. What is happening around us? What kind of a situation we face today? Political situation under the strain of sin and Satan. I come from an education, academics, as a teaching profession. I love teaching, but we are under a strain. Because Satan has actually having a strong domain on the academics. You don't have to teach or tell the students about what the truth is. You simply have to cover the syllabus. This is what you are supposed to teach. Stick to the points of what has been written in the books. Don't give your private explanation. There are so many things, it's very difficult. You know, today young people are facing a lot of different questions in their minds. We love the Bible. I love the truth. I believe the truth. But you tell me, where it is written in the Bible that I should not do this, I should not do that. I should not wear this, I should not talk this, I should not eat this. I should not go for dances and parties and this thing. Where it has been mentioned in the Bible? You know, there is something, obedience. Obey. Can you loosen this cable for a little bit? The first part of obedience is simple obedience. You have read the instruction, you've got the commandments, you simply obey them. The second is the radical obedience. What is radical obedience? God has raised a ministry today. When they speak, they have been anointed to speak. Obey the word. No, I was testing the scripture whether he said it's there in the Bible or no, there's no need to cross-check. When a minister speaks to you, that's appeal to your conscience. You know, many things you may not find in the Bible, but you need a radical obedience to follow what has been instructed to you. You agree with me?
Amen.
That's the reason God has raised our ministry today. Remember the fivefold ministry that has been given to us. It is not to teach the church, but it's to edify the church. That teaching is already given. But only thing, we need to be refreshed. We need to be edified. Bring to our memories what are the things that are needful for my obedience. When we stand here as children of God, I know that you stand as per the ministry you are following. But I tell you about myself. We are responsible in Bombay. There are many people who give me the commands. This precious brother, we love him. He is good in his heart but wrong in his head. He is good in his head. I mean, he is good at heart. But poor fellow, he is wrong in his head. So we cannot fellowship with him. And this is probably everywhere. You know, all the denomination and every sect of Christianity will try to teach you this aspect. But when God is going to put you into a challenge, I tell you, the shepherds, the people who follow the ministry, have to bring your life into a very stringent discipline. Because the time will come, the great shepherd of our sheep is going to strike us. And this time when he strikes us, your sheep which were taking for granted, okay, we'll see, this Sunday I'm busy, I'm not. But when you have been struck, your sheep will come close to you. There were many brothers and many churches, when they heard that I was ill and I was critically ill in the ICU, the word went across. Everybody started to fast and pray. I never expected that these people would ever do it. And they were so much concerned about me, so many people came to visit me. How are you doing, brother? How are you doing? Because this brought a pull among the people close to you. And I believe it will one day work among us also here. Because God is at move. You know, the brother was just saying, God is at move. God is not doing his showmanship. See, hi, how are you? Are you fine? I'm here too. No, he moves in us in a way of simplicity. A way of simplicity. And that simplicity should be reflected in the ministers. You can be careful that you don't catch any viruses or any diseases. But there are certain things like pride. No matter you drink boiled water and filtered water and good food and pray every day, but pride will still come. So you do not understand how pride comes. You know, Lucifer was very good in the day he was created. His ways were good, his thoughts, his intelligence, everything was good and perfect. But when pride came, that brought his destruction, his downfall. We got to be first very careful that we do not get entangled by this very model of us to be pride. I am somebody. I know certain things. It will catch us in such a way that we are least aware of it. This is good. This is better. And this is best. Who is good? The one who acknowledged, "Oh brother, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It was my mistake. I'm sorry, I acknowledge it was my mistake." Is a good person. Who acknowledges his own mistake. But he may acknowledge his mistake, but he can keep committing again and again. Who is a better person? Who makes mistakes? He realizes his mistake and he corrects on his mistake. Is a better person. You understand? But who is the best person? Who simply believe Christ. That He is my Redeemer, He is my Savior, He is my Healer, who puts all His emphasis and every trust in Christ. He is the best person. You can be good by yourself. You can improve by yourself. But to be really good in the eyes of God, the best person, you need to believe Christ. I hope you understand.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's get further. I'll give you a simple illustration. You know, in Mumbai, the place where I stay, it's close to the sea. This is the land and this is the sea. And there are fishes. Right?
Is on somba.
So there is a big fish and there is a small fish. You can see that? There's a big fish and there's a small fish. They're coordinating together, they're playing together, they're talking, chit-chatting, they're moving and playing in the water. But one fine day, what happens? There comes a man, and he sits over here, and he takes a stick, and he puts a fishing rod, and he entangles a small piece of meat. So, here he has a little fire, because some wood is burning and there's some fire here, and that side there is a cat. Right?
Amen.
Now what happens is, this little fish seas, ball, food, and that fish jumps to catch that food. But this bigger fish, hey, wait! Don't you do that. Because you do not know what is the other side of it. Oh, don't you scare me. You know, fishes have eyes which are called fish eyes. You know, when a fish cannot have a flexible neck like what we turn this way. But through his eyes, he can see in front, see the side, see behind. Right? He sees in all 180 degrees. So this little fish said, oh, I don't see any danger. Why are you trying to deprive me? I know that you want to eat it all by yourself. So this got a little discouraged, and then he went away, and the big fish also went away. But after a little while, the little fish came back again, took around. Now this big fish has gone away. And says, oh, I don't see any danger. So it slowly gulped that ball of meat. And there is a hook inside. It got stuck in his throat. And the fisherman realized that something is there in his bait. So he started pulling out the bait. And this fish was helpless. And when it came on top, he saw the man with a fishing rod. He saw the fire. He saw the cat. Because this fish had already given him the instruction. Because you don't know, you will be caught. You will be roasted. You will be eaten. And then your bones will be chewed by the cat. And that fish did not believe it from the heart. She just thought in her mind and just it was never serious. But when the fish was now here on top of the water, she realized, yeah, what that my friend told me was true. What my elders told me was true. But now it was too late. There was no help. He couldn't free himself from the bait. And so the fisherman caught it, put it in the fire, and then he ate it, and the bones were chewed by the cat. So many times life is going on in this type of a game. Jesus said, you do not know from where you come and where to you go. Is that right? But I know from where I come and where do I go. You know how helpless we are people in this universe. We have so many questions circling our own minds and we have no answers. How we can do the Lord's work? As the prophet says, just believe. All things are possible for those that believe. You know, when I came here, I landed on by playing the first verse that came to my mind was, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And I believe all what God needs out of us is a simple trust that we know that with him all things are possible. Is that right?
Amen.
Why we suffer, why we go under various turmoils is because it's not only sometimes our own faults, but it could be our ancestors' faults. In the book of Exodus, it says that the Lord is a zealous God, visiting the iniquity of our fathers to the third and the fourth generation. You know, our ancestors die. They sleep. But what the demons they had, they carried, the oppressions, these demons don't die. They just jump from one generation to the other. You know, many times we find, oh, this person was so fine, he was so perfect. What happened to him suddenly? What is this demonic attack? Why is he so depressed? Because it's an unseen world. We do not understand. These curses jump from one generation to the other. God hates the Amalekites. Do you believe that? The Bible says. But God wanted to destroy the Amalekites. So he chose Saul the king. See, these Amalekites which are there before you, I command thee that you destroy them all. The men, the women, the children, the sheep, the beast, everyone. God said, and Saul was supposed to do it. Saul obeyed the Lord, but at a certain level, oh, these are high-ranking officials. We will then negotiate with them. We will see. We don't want to simply slaughter them. So what happened? Saul spared some people. The king was spared. And also some important people. He did not fully follow the Lord. 500 years later. 500 years later. When Mordecai was there. The Amalekites once again surfaced. There was a man called Haman. Now Mordecai was a simple poor fellow who was staying at the gates of the palace, Shushan. But he used to worship only the one true God. But this Haman, the Amalekite, he wanted people's respect. When he came and walked among the people, everyone bowed before him. So he used to take prayer. Okay. But this Mordecai would never bow. So I bow only to God, not to this Amalekite. He believed his word that God had put in his heart. But what would he do? He was a poor beggar type, you know, this loner at the gates of Shushan. What happened was, then he wrote a letter to the queen. Now the queen was Esther. She was a Jew. I hope you have read it, right? And she was a Jew. And Mordecai said, you are a queen in this palace. You are a queen in this province. You have authority. But this Haman, he's an Amalekite. He has access in your palace. You understand? There are people who have access to the king and access to the palace. And when she realized the follies of Haman, she made a decision to go to the king and disclose it. That how he had planned a plot to destroy all the Jews. And she feared, if the king slays me, kills me, I will be killed. But if not, I will speak this thing before the king. But the king respected the words of the queen Esther. And you see, the story is beautifully dramatized. But my point is, just cover the point. that this Haman was ultimately destroyed. If you don't do the will of God today to stop the Amalekites, stop the work of Satan, they are going to resurface again once more. You know, Jesus, when he said,
"Yes,
about this time," he was mindful of what he was talking. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man coming. We take the words and we just acknowledge, Lord, we know that you are coming soon, you are coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. The Son of Man coming. What were they doing? Buying, selling, you know, doing all kind of things which were contrary to God's will. As it were in the days of Nimrod. Nimrod, Satan knows that his time is less. He has a very little time. And what has happened? He is bringing to resurface all these his amazing characters. The spirit of Nimrod, you know, again resurfacing. You know, one world religion, getting everything under his domain. And we don't even realize. And we are simply saying, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. But we must be aware that these things are resurfacing again. The spirit of Jezebel. You know, who was Jezebel? From where did she come? Jezebel was the queen of Israel. She was the queen where her husband was King Ahab. You know, one day, when Ahab conquered the land of Zidon, now we know that that was the Tyre, Sidon, and all that area is where once upon a time the rebellious demons and angels dwelt there. But from that temple, there was a priest. And when Ahab went and saw the priest and started negotiating with him, he saw his beautiful daughter. And she passed before him one way, two way. And when Ahab saw her, he was so impressed that he wanted to marry her. So he told the king, the priest, "I want to marry your daughter." So the priest called the daughter. "See, here is a request and a proposal. This king wants to marry you. Are you ready to marry him?" So Jezebel moved around, started to ponder and think certain things. "I am ready on one condition. So Ahab was ready for any condition. Because he was so much flat for her, he thought his whole world was in Jezebel. So Jezebel said, "Hasta la vista, hasta la vista." So what does it mean? "I am ready to marry you, provided I follow my God and you follow your God. I follow my God and I worship my God, and you worship your God." And so she came to Israel in Ahab's palace. But she did not come alone. She brought her all the false prophets along with her. 450 and 400. 850 false prophets. And they were eating and drinking at the palace. You know, when you are come into the palace and 850 people are dining with you, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all the necessities, and the queen is supplying all the necessities because she believed them, because they had the power, you know, that they would be able to give her strength. And Ahab did not bother, okay, that is what. But now he wanted to extend his palace. Because so many prophets, where would they stay in his palace? So he wanted to expand the land. And there was a beautiful piece of land adjacent to his palace. It's Nadab, right? And when he went and requested him, please sell me your property. Please sell me your property. But the man refused. No. This is my ancestor's property. I would not sell it. And he was very sad and came. And Jezebel told him, "What's wrong? Why is your countenance fallen?" And Ahab narrated the story, what happened. Oh, only that much. Let me handle the situation. Let me handle it. So she read in the scriptures and found it in the book of Deuteronomy that whoever dishonors the king and the God will be stoned to death. So she gathered some people around the province, bribed them, and made them false witnesses. See, I have so many people who are stating that this man have falsely abused the king and God. So according to the scriptures, this man needs to be stoned to death. And they all stoned to death. His entire family. And now Ahab had the whole property. But when this type of all kind of cheating and crime has been going on, God had raised a prophet. And when Elijah came, what have you done? Because you have done this, the dogs that have licked the blood of Nadab will lick your blood also. And that was the end of Jezebel and Ahab. Now, my brothers and sisters, we know that the Lord has a plan for us. Right? You know, Paul states to us, that we all have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Amen? Now here is God and His throne. Now He is seated here, and we have to stand before Him. And when we stand before Him, there are two that stand aside for us. One is a lawyer and the other is an advocate.
Winner, the lawyer, winner not the miracle.
And this is you. You know, what's the difference between a lawyer and an advocate? Both sound similar, isn't it? But there is a difference. Jesus is not a lawyer, but he's an advocate.
Yes, he's a lawyer, but an advocate.
The advocate takes your place in the court of law. He represents you. But a lawyer can only give you some advice. He only gives you some legal advice. But he never takes your place. You know, he will bring in all these kinds of accusations. I know this man. Oh, he had done this, he had done that. He is not a very good man. He has a lot of imperfectness. But there is an advocate. Who Jesus Christ the righteous, who says, I take his place, right? And all your sins are remitted. You are righteous in the eyes of God because somebody has taken your place. My brothers and sisters, what a great privilege it is to have Jesus as our advocate. Just confess to him, surrender to him. You know, when that day you were singing the song and you all celebrated my 42nd ministry year, I remember 42 years back when I had got baptized in the name of Jesus, I decided to go in prayer and fast. So there is a brother that who was very close to me. We both managed to go to a forest over 180 kilometers away from our place, and we went into a valley. And we had some big gun torches, you know. And we went and we pitched a tent and we stayed fasting and praying in that place. The first day passed. The second day passed. And on the third day, something strange happened. And what happened? We were singing all these songs. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Yeah, I remember the song. And as we were singing, it turned night. Maybe about 8:30. And in the forest it was all dark. You don't see anything. But there was a small pond there where there was water, and we were adjacent to the pond. And as we were praying and looking up, lying down, looking up the sky, I just turned around. And as I turned around, I saw pairs of eyes all over. Pairs of eyes. And I noticed something strange. Maybe some animals are coming to this. And we had those torches. We put on the torches. And we see nothing. There was nothing. And again we put off the torches. Again there are these eyes hovering everywhere. And we were too young in the Lord that time. And we said, anyway, don't worry. We prayed, we sang louder. We began to quote scriptures. And after some times, again we are looking and we see the eyes are still there. So the fear started rising in our hearts. It started something like rising in our hearts, and we were getting. And when we reached to a certain point, our strength began to fail. We started artificially, brother, don't worry, I am there with you. And we both stuck together. And we were just saying, don't worry, we will see whatever happens. But at that moment, one fire, a big ball of fire, just maybe 10 or 15 feet away, fire came up. And when the fire came, it stood there for just 20 or 25 seconds. And then it extinguished. We were so paralyzed, we didn't know what we just saw, and we fell asleep. But the next morning, when I woke up, I began to see something. I remember there was a fire here. There were grass all over, but not a single blade of fire been there, you know. There was nothing that showed sign that there was fire here. You understand? And I was surprised, how come? We were confirming there was a fire we seen here, right? And after the fire, all these eyes, they just vanished. So we didn't know what it was. We never understood the vision. Then we said, now we need to go back. It was the fourth day. And it had a big, long, steep mountain valley it was. So we had to climb the mountain. And as we were going, I saw my friend coming all the way from Bombay, carrying two tiffins of food. And I was surprised, how did you come to know that I was here? Because I had never disclosed it to anyone. He says, I just felt like that. I just led. And he brought some food and we ate it. Then I realized this was God's will. But I never realized what it all meant. 2, 3, 4, 5 years passed. And now that was in the corner of my mind. And I was in a remote village, preaching and ministering the word. And there was a senior pastor. And he was just looking at me that something was wrong with me. And he says, brother, please come here. So I got up and I came to him. And he asked me, did you have some strange experience in your life? And this was far back, 5 years back even. I hardly remember it. Then once I began to think, I said, yes, there was one incident. Then he said, tell me what happened. And after I told him, he said, do you know what it meant? And he told me, these are the hungry souls. These eyes are the hungry souls that is looking in the ministry where you will show them the power of God. And I said, oh, this is something very related. But I was too young. He says, from now on, God is going to use you. And then he prayed and he prophesied. And we were there for that night, and the next day we moved away. But from that time onwards, I started receiving letters from people whom I never knew. Because that time we did not have the mobile phones. Brother, we have heard that you are a man of God. And you need to come and visit to our church. Strengthen us. We would love to welcome you in Bangalore, in KGF, many different places, in Delhi. And that's how amazingly, from nowhere, the Lord led me to so many people. Today I have about 25 prayer groups who are standing in this church. It was an amazing work of God. I remember that night the Lord told me, inspired in my heart, fear not, for I will teach you my word. And I believe that word has come to pass, because wherever I go, I think there is a need where I need to fulfill. That is through the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have an advocate, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is standing by you. He is representing you before the court of the law.
Amen.
Trust in him. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Are you happy?
Amen.
What time? All right, we just go further. Now remember, today we are living in a very modern world. This is a world where there is totally covered by a worldwide web. Many people think, oh, it's such a blessing. You know, many youngsters are posting all your details. My birthday, my star, my name, my address. You are posting in various sites, Facebook, all kind of things. I'm not so familiar with this. There are so many portals of windows that are open in these websites. You want so many portals, anything you want to know, any information, anything you desire, you can go to that portal and gather the information. But I tell you, don't sell yourself into this internet. Keep yourself vigilant, because Satan is observing you. All these portals that are opened are Satan's tricks. All kind of wickedness and lasciviousness is there in the internet, which will simply trap you. You know, today the internet is such subtle. If you are interested in seeing some war movies, a list of war movies will come, so that it is easy to access. If you want to see some love stories, a list of love stories will open to you. There are such subtle portals which will easily set your trap. You understand? We are living in a very treacherous world. Keep yourself safe from all these things.